So we've started our series on generosity, and last week, as we're doing this, we call it our generosity practice, and that's important because remember the idea we're practicing together. And last week, there was the title, "There is more joy in giving than receiving," which is a lovely title, isn't it? Lovely title, lovely. My title this week is "Watch Out for Greed." But these are actually words of Jesus. They're not me just going, "Oh, I'm going to have a go at people for being greedy today." They are words of Jesus. So if we look together in Luke 12, and it's one of those really interesting things, because as somebody who's been in classrooms for many years and delivered lots of talks, it's interesting because at the start, Jesus is talking in Luke 12 and he's giving a warning against hypocrisy. And he goes through a number of things. And then he says, "And when you're brought to trial in the synagogues," this is verse 11 of Luke 12, "when you're brought to trial in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at what time what needs to be said." And it's one of those ones where, you know, you're saying something, but people in the crowd or people you're teaching or people in front of you just pick up on one word. And here he's saying, when you're brought to trial and somebody goes, "Oh, I've got a question about trial." And it says, then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." So it's nothing really about what he's talking about, but they've just like, mentioned trial, mentioned issues, ha-ha. And it might not be quite how that happened, but that's how I'm reading it. And Jesus replied this, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Now, greed, as I sort of alluded to at the start, can be a very highly emotive word or concept. And we can all think of someone else who is greedy, can't we? And whether it's a ridiculous character in fiction, such as Scrooge McDuck, who's loosely related to Donald Duck somewhere, and was the anti-hero of DuckTales, and it was a sort of 80s, 90s TV show. But one of the sort of memorable things about Scrooge McDuck, he got so much cash, so many gold coins, he could actually swim through them. So we might think of Scrooge McDuck, we might think of Mr. Greedy from the brilliant Mr. Men series. I was going to actually tell you the whole story of Mr. Greedy, and then I thought, when you're doing too much reading from a Mr. Men book, more than you are from the Bible, there's some problem there. So we're not going to read Mr. Greedy today, but he was very greedy for food. So he had lots and lots of stuff, and there used to be, because there used to be a song that we had on our Mr. Men record when I was growing up. And it said this, it said, 100 dumplings and 1,000,000 peas, 20 marmalade puddings, a cheddar cheese, bread and butter and a roll or two, three, four. Mr. Greedy is having a little light lunch. And I was going to sing you to that again, but again, if you're singing Mr. Men songs more than you're singing hymns and worship, then there's a problem. But again, we might think of those people, fictional characters, ridiculous fictional characters, such as Donald Trump, who said, "You can't be too greedy." And when he was asked, "What would be enough for you?" he said, 10% more. Always 10% more. And when we think of greed, you might think of Michael Douglas's character, Gordon Gekko. Lizard, 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 lizard. Is it me or is there a gecko in here? Anyway, you might think of Gordon Gekko from the film Wall Street and the famous speech. He says this, "The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, for knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind. And greed, mark my words, will not only save Ted LaPepa, but that other manufacturing corporation called the USA. Now, this is one of those moments I really hope on the podcast nobody just turns in for that bit and goes, oh, they teach some funny things at the church of Junction 10. But as we said, Jesus said, beware, watch and guard against all types of greed. Life is not measured by what you own. But unfortunately, a lot of people do and think exactly that. I've been in many conversations where people, especially when you meet someone for fairly the first time and you get round to things like, how much do you earn? Where do you live? Because, oh, that answer can be very like how somebody is doing. What car do you drive? And I'm sure you can think of loads of different examples where people talk about what you are measured by in terms of what stuff you have. Or they're trying to work out what status you are based on certain questions. Now, we're really mindful that for some people today, when we are talking during this series, when we're talking about things like money, greed, generosity, there are some people who are going, there's so much worrying in my mind about our finances. I can't even think about what you're saying here. You don't know the situation I'm in. And there are brilliant charities like Christians Against Poverty that just work so well with people who go, I don't know where to turn. So if all you take from today, you need some help and you need to Google or look Christians Against Poverty, please do that, because that might be just what you need. But here, so often, sometimes some of the issues we get into, not all, can be because of comparison. In 1989, I remember was the first time I was asked what type of trainers I had. And we actually were split in the changing rooms, not by the teacher, you'll be pleased to know, by somebody who decided whose trainers were good and whose trainers were bad. And that day, I had Dunlop trainers on, which straight away someone went, oh. And it got christened the Dunlop disease. If you had Dunlop trainers, you had the Dunlop disease. So I went to my mum and said, Mum, I've got the Dunlop disease. Can we get some other trainers? Great, no problem. So we went to Blunt Shoes, King Standing. Lovely. We then got Nick's trainers. Now, Nick obviously didn't want them. Again, there's a very materialistic person on the second row. Every time I'm saying the types of trainers, oh, as if like these are. But again, Nick's sort of as near to Nike as you could try and get. But, and the day I tried to wear hike socks, that didn't work either. But straight away at nine, it was the fact of these are the trainers that are good, these are the trainers that were bad. And hey-ho, it was the trainers that were expensive that were the trainers that were good. And even when I got a job in a school as an assistant principal, I remember being taken aside and being told by two members of the leadership, you're not wearing the shoes of an assistant principal. Ooh. They're not the shoes you should be wearing. So it's like, ooh. And even I've had people say, oh, I can't believe that person drives that car in that job. And that's not the right car for that. We can get very, very comparing, can't we? And unfortunately, churches, and I mean churches across the world, sometimes have not been good at this either. Churches have given the message that if you give the money to us, we will sort it out. And sometimes we've had pastors on the stage that have got shoes worth £50,000. Not in our church, hopefully. Or you need to give more to Jesus. You need to give more. And it's so that the pastor can fly in their private helicopter or their private plane. Or so that they have a bigger house for them and their families. And there have been so many different things where people have thought they were doing really well and being generous, and actually maybe they were giving to the wrong thing. I love watching rockets launch. I've never actually seen it in real life, but I love watching them, and you know, the countdown. And whenever I see it on the news, I always try and find the footage. And even though it fairly looks the same, it's still exciting, isn't it? Like, it's probably the same rocket and they're just showing the same footage over and over again. But it's that thing where it's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds is the same, isn't it? And then it's like, we have liftoff. But the thing I really like is, you see all the jet propulsion, you hear all the and you see all the flames and the technical stuff that I don't know the words of coming out the bottom. But you'd think the rocket would absolutely shoot off and be really quick and like, and you'd hardly see it. But you don't, do you? And why is that? Why is it that the rocket has to fight? What is it fighting against to propel itself into space? Any idea? Oh, yeah, on the front row.
Gravity,
round of applause here. I thought we were going to have to spend about 20 minutes teaching on this, but you've done excellent, so well done. I don't need to show you the depth of my ignorance on gravity, but it's the pull of gravity that slows down the rocket. And they've got to get the calculations right, because if they don't have enough propulsion there, it just won't go, because gravity is forcing it down. And if you want to escape the pull of greed, that's the way to be generous. Or put it in another way, if you want to be generous, escape that pull of greed. And if you're, and you might think, but greed, that's Donald, that's Scrooge McDuck, that's Mr. Greedy, that's all the people in the other side of town. But if you're spending and thinking about things that you don't need, but maybe you want, that could be squeezing and crushing the generosity in you. And again, as we do this today, what I don't want us to become is that Rachel's on the car park with a clipboard and she's going, right, your car's okay. Yep, that's not too greedy, well done. Let me just check your shoes. Oh yeah, yours are scuffed enough. Yeah, you've had them too. It can be very easy to go, oh, but yeah, I've pulled up against them and their car is massive. They need to listen to Phil's message. Remember, God said this, Jesus said this, watch out for greed. Be on your watch. And that's not a passive thing. That's not like you're sort of, you know, when you're sort of sitting in your armchair and things go around, but you, whatever happens just washes over you. This is an active thing when you are guarding. Like somebody who's guarding a city or guarding an area and they're doing it really well. Guard. Because things can slip in or try and slip in that are subtle. Straight away we can go, we're not greedy because. And then like when we've done this as our house group and we've looked and go, and you go in, oh, hang on a minute. There are things that I spend on, things that I prioritise that actually, I've sort of got into that mind of having more than I actually need. And John Mark Comer says, accumulation and acquisition is often linked and celebrated as a path to security and happiness. But Jesus warns about the broken human desire to always want more. And we are in that more society. There's this idea that wealth is success. And I love the song from Fiddler on the Roof, you know, if I were a rich man. Again, we can't sing that more than we're singing hymns. That's the rule. But with that, there's bits where he says what he would do if he had a small fortune. And he'd have a staircase going up, a staircase going down, and one just leading nowhere just for show. Because that's what you do when you're rich. You can waste things. And again, even with the small amount of money we have, we can be in that idea of a more society. And there are algorithms now, and I don't understand fully about it, but I know that on the social media, on the websites I use, there's ways that they can start tailing adverts to what they know I will like. They know, oh, Phil doesn't really like looking at stuff like this, so we won't bother there. They know I'm not a 16-year-old girl. They know I'm a 21-plus-year-old man. They're not going to suddenly send me lipstick adverts, are they? They know the things that, and there's like an algorithm that they're tailoring to me in order to get me to spend, in order to get me to want. When I haven't used a certain app for a while, there'll be a little reminder in the inbox that suddenly, oh, you've got 50% off. In order to get you back, to get you in. There are these algorithms. But unfortunately, even without computers, without mobiles, without social media, we ourselves can do those algorithms. You need a new phone, you do. Oh, your phone's a bit smashed. Your phone's not working very well. Oh, you need a new car. Oh, look at that, it's a bit rusty. And you might think, again, that's someone else that would do that. And probably it might be. But there are often really good intentioned people just get sort of swept off course. There was an example of a group of men in a church who decided that they were going to get out in the wild together. And every few weeks, every couple of months or so, they were going to go and bike and they were going to pray. Sounds wonderful. So they'd bike for a couple of hours, they'd pray together. Wonderful. Unfortunately, the algorithm of that group meant that it very soon became, each time they gathered, somebody would have a new bike. And they'd all be like, oh, that bike's amazing. Oh, look at your bike. That's good. And whether it was, again, you're going to see my ignorance about bikes, but whether it's, oh, it's titanium, or it's lighter, or it's got the better tread, or it's got more gears, whatever. Oh, that's amazing. Then the next time, someone else would have a bike. Oh, look at your bike. Ooh. And then someone else would come in the new type of Lycra, or someone else would have the new type of hat, helmet, and all those different things. And very soon they realized what they were spending their time on was actually just, it became almost a coveting group where their algorithm was, you've got to have the best thing to fit in here. And they disbanded the group. Hopefully, our groups aren't like that. But maybe that's one of the things we need to watch out for. Do we have unwritten rules? There are churches where if you are not wearing certain clothes, they don't want you on the platform. Now, some demure clothes would be helpful. Like, I don't think your swimsuit's the best thing to be on the stage. But where they're encouraging you to have the best labels, to change every time there's a different service, make sure you're not seen in older clothes, or this is the way we wear. Beware of greed. Watch out for greed. And just because you can afford it, it doesn't mean you need it. It would be really useful, wouldn't it, if Jesus had told us categorically, made it very clear, how many shoes you actually need to own. How many pairs of shoes, especially. That would be really good, wouldn't it? And I know there's a bit of a shoe theme today here, but that would be really useful. And sometimes, I think, if we looked in our, because again, going where, well, when we're thinking about more, and if we put on the screen here this word more, that might be a better way of looking at greed, because you're going, oh, I'm not greedy. But how are you when it comes to more? When you need more, is it because you actually need more, or is it because you want more? Is it because that extra whatever it is will cheer you up, or it will make you look good? Or is it because you actually need it? Some friends of mine, they did the thing for a year where you don't buy new clothes. And I'm like, you will never last with that. You'll never last. All they needed was to buy a pair of work shoes that had sort of worn out, and then they're absolutely fine. But so often we can think, oh, we couldn't cope if we didn't have this or this, or we didn't have this particular thing. We've got to be clear what is a need and what is a want. And I do want to caveat that it isn't just about spending lots and lots of money, because sometimes greed can be when we see a bargain. And we know there are loads of shops out there that are very full of bargains. So we go in and we say, oh, I'll get 7 of those when you might only need 1. Oh, because it's so cheap, it'd be rude not to. We've got to be careful with that because, again, how many did we actually need? But also, what are we actually exploiting here? Is it that there are people who are being paid absolute nothing to make that? And are we getting into a cycle of waste as well? And when we say watch out for greed, we're not saying we're going to watch out for you. You need to watch out for what is your issue here. What are the things where you only really need this amount, but maybe you get this amount? Maybe it's where you only need this spec, but you actually go for this spec because you think, oh, I can afford it. But remember, what we can do there is the more we're getting more, the less we can be generous. The more we're being squeezed because, well, I'm buying 7 of those because I need all 7 because I couldn't decide on the colour and what would match my eyes. Then, because you've spent on that, you're squeezing your chance of being generous. One of the things we were challenged on in our house group was one of the challenges at the end, and I'll try and remember to say this as well as a bit of a challenge at the end for us, is have a look. Is there things you don't actually need that you can actually give away to somebody? And this isn't just I've got tat in my cupboard, let's see who I can sort of unfurl that on. But who, is there things you've got that you don't need that you could give away? Or is there extra that you can sell and then give the money and be generous with that? And actually, already people started going, oh, there are cupboards I've never touched, or rooms in my house I've never touched, or things that I don't need anymore that I could be then generous with. So with it, the sort of slogan of greed is more. But we need an antidote, don't we? We need something to stop that, to help us when that thing in our mind is going, more of this. And that is this, it is enough. There's a story of a fisherman, and he's sitting, it's a lovely sunny day, and he's sitting by his boat just enjoying the sun. Maybe he's got a little drink there. It's about 2 in the afternoon. And a rich man comes along and says, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm relaxing. He said, well, you shouldn't be relaxing. There's more hours in the day. Go and go fishing again. And he said, but I've caught enough. He said, no, if you go out again, you'll get more fish. You'll be able to sell more. And if you do that every day, you'll have double the profits. You'll have more. It'll be brilliant. And then you'll be rich like me. And the fisherman said, well, what happens when I get there? And he said, well, you'll be able to sit back and you'll be able to enjoy life. The fisherman says, just like I'm doing now. Because so often that idea of more, and even some of the time, the reason we're working so hard might be so we can get more, it's knowing what is enough. What's enough bedrooms? What's enough gadgets? What's enough specification? What in the car or whatever it is. And remember, with the stuff that we get, quite often there's also a thing called a time tax. So if you bought a new, let's say, motorbike, it's not just the fact of, I've got a new motorbike. And again, if someone comes in with a new motorbike next week, don't start throwing things from them like the biscuits from the refreshments and go, get out, you bought a new motorbike. But if you do, just buying it, there's the time tax. Because on top of that, then you've got to drive the motorbike or ride it or whatever the terms are. There's the washing it, there's the fueling it, there's doing all the things there. It's not just an outlay of money, it's also an outlay of time. And we can be very generous with our time, but also we can be very greedy with our time as well. Remember, greed always wants more. And what we need to do is try and redirect our thoughts as we're watching for greed, but also when we recognize it, then train ourselves to ignore it, which can sometimes be harder. What do you do there when you're recognizing? Is that time of prayer? Is it time of worship? Is it going a different way to work so you don't go past the thing that you're really struggling with? Is it a case where you don't go on your computer or you change your setting in your phone? I don't know, but what do you need to do to redirect your thoughts? Because greed will always want more. Generosity, though, can breed contentment. Simplicity. And that links with other parts of spiritual formation. And we've talked about Sabbath. And with Sabbath, that is about stopping working. You don't need to work more, enough. Rest in Jesus, that is enough. Fasting. With fasting, one of the things we were really challenged with as our journey group was that idea of, oh, it isn't just because fasting because we want to get God's attention, but actually there can be that idea of really connecting with the poor by A, fasting and understanding what it's like to go without, but also then maybe not using the money that you would have used for food that day and using it to bless somebody else, to be generous. So it links to some other parts of spiritual formation that we've looked at. In Luke 3, before Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist said this. He had people in front of us and he gave them different challenges. And the crowds asked, what should we do? John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, teacher, what should we do? He replied, collect no more taxes than the government requires. What should we do? Asked some soldiers. So you've got different people go, what do we do here, John? John replied, don't extort money or make false accusations and be content with your pay. So even John is talking about that idea of contentment. You don't need more. How do you get to that stage of contentment? And there he's not just speaking to the obviously corrupt, because remember in those days, tax collectors, everyone would be going, boo, hiss. They're naughty chaffinches. They nick our money. But actually he's talking to the whole crowd and saying these principles to look at. So as we come into land, we know that for some people, there'll be an easy fix today that you've suddenly gone, hang on a minute, I'm really challenged, I spend this way, I can easily change, I don't need this more, or I was thinking of buying this more this week, I don't need to do that. And maybe then considering how you can be generous with that money you're going to spend. For others, you'll go, well, actually, it'll be a lot more of a real redistribution of how I do things. Because I'm so into the step of this that, well, here's how I live my life. Here's how I spend. Here's how I spend my money. Here's how I spend my time. But don't just go, oh, I'm so set in my ways, that's my default setting, that I don't want to even look at it. Because why Jesus came was he came to have life, to give us life and life to its full. And so often we think that the things we have and the things we spend on and the things we consume are what give us life to the full. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. And as we look, and we'll look more at Luke 12 during this series, it's that idea of how do we just root contentment in our life. So as our challenge from our house group, maybe it is this week, have a look, maybe go into that closet that you haven't been in for a while. Maybe you see where you've got six of something, where you only need three. And look at, can you sell that? And can you be generous? Or could you give it to somebody who needs it? But not just maybe doing it as a one-off, just keep checking, because as Jesus said, be on your watch against greed. I'm going to read Hebrews 13, if the band can come up. And it says this, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Don't love money, be satisfied what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me now? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you know each one of us. You know our heart, you know our longings, you know as we've been together for this last 20, 25 minutes, you know how our minds have been thinking. And we just ask that you would still our thoughts to be in line with you. Help us know what we need to do next for our circumstances. We want to be a generous people, Lord, but we know there are so many things out there that can trip us up. Help us be people who know what you're telling us, who know the direction from your word and are able to put into practice. We pray for anyone who needs support, that they would get the support they need. And we just ask that we would be a generous people living in your word and living in your light. And that salt and light would just permeate out into the communities that we're in. And this church would be a church, a community of believers with you at the center. And we just ask that in your name. Amen. 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 If you stand, we're going to sing together, Build Your Kingdom Here. And as part of that, there were a lot of songs I was thinking of singing today, like All to Jesus I Surrender. But actually, that's quite a hard song to sing. I surrender all, I surrender all. And for that, I think that's maybe, for some of you, you'd love singing out that today. But I think for this idea of building your kingdom in all that we do, not just in this church, but in our homes, in our work life, in all we do, and trying to this week, try and see where can we go less of more and then enough and generosity and contentment coming into our lives. So let's sing this together, a great song, Build Your Kingdom Here, and let's make this the anthem of our week. Thank you, Tim.